Tonight we're going to talk a little bit about confidentiality and email correspondence. We discussed this in one context in the past a few years ago, but I want to take it in a little bit of a different direction tonight. There is a comment of the Medrash Tanchuma in Parshas Balak on the Pasuk Vayeshev Yisrael Beshitim. Yilamdeinu Rabbeinu, Bizchus Kama Dvarim Nigalu Yisrael Mimitzrayim. Different versions in Chazal, but this is one of them as to what Bnei Yisrael did to marry these Yis Mitzrayim. So this Medrash has four things. Loshinu Eshmosam, Loshinu Es Lashonam. So those are the two most famous ones that appear in just about every list. Velo Gilu Mistarim Shalahem. They didn't reveal their secrets. Velo Nifritzu Barayos, and they weren't involved in Arayos. The Medrash goes on to explain, and as far as Logila Mistarin Shalahan, Shinemar Vishala Yisha Mishkanta, Vayaha Davar Hazem, Mufkar Eslam Yubes Chodesh, Logila Echame Helimitzim. Even though they had advance notice as to what they would be taking with them on the way out, they didn't reveal that to any of the Mitzvim. And then the context, the reason this comes up in Parashas Balak is on the Pasuk of Yeshiv Yisrael Beshitim, even though one of the things that Klal Yisrael did to be Zocha in Yetzias Mitzrayim was La Parsa Barayos, so that fell by the wayside when it came to the Avera of Baal Peor. So this din of Logolu Mistarin Shalahan, the fact that they didn't reveal secrets, appears in what seems to be a halachic context in the Gemara in Yuma on Daf Dalet Amud Beis. The Gemara there says, commenting on the first Pasuk in Sefer Vayikra, Vayikra al Moshe Vayidaber, seemingly a relatively innocuous, unexciting pasuk. Says the Gemara, "Lama hichin kriya ledibor." Why does the pasuk refer both to kriya and dibor? Limda Torah derech eretz. Shelo yomer adam davar lechaveiro elam kein karehu. A person shouldn't tell something to his friend unless he calls him, gives him a warning first that he's going to be addressing him. And then the Gemara says, "Lemor." Amr Rabin Asya or Rabin, one other version. How do you know that if you tell something to your friend that that's included in Bal Yomar, you're not allowed to reveal that information to someone else without permission? Until he tells him to tell someone else, until he gives him permission. So Gemara says that you learn from here, from the first pasuk in Sefer Vayikra, that you're not allowed to reveal something that is said to you in presumed confidence. And the default presumption is that if someone tells you something without giving you permission to relate that to others, that the presumption is that it's confidential. So you're not allowed to give over such information without permission. So what is the scope of this iser that the Gemara in Yuma tells us? The Smag counts this, has this halacha in the context of his minyan mitzvos, Smag lavin mitzvah dalid, that if a person tells something to someone else without permission, then he violates a lav. So it sounds like that's a lav min haTorah. The Torah Tamima, commenting on that first pasuk in Vayikra, says no, he thinks it's only an asmachta. It's not really a lav d'oraisa. However, if you read the Smag in context, you get the impression that he is really talking about a lav d'oraisa, although not necessarily a new lav, but perhaps a extension of rechilas. I apologize. I did send out the Marma Kamos, but I will try to resend it now if anyone didn't get it. It was sent out at 7:56. Did I not send it? I apologize. Okay. Okay, resending it out. My apologies. Okay, so you should have it now. So if you read the Smag and sound it's inside, it sounds like he may indeed be talking about a lav d'oraisa, but perhaps included in the lav of rechilas. The lashon of the Smag is yesh avon echa acher shu gadol mizeh. The ha b'chla lav zeh. in the context that he's talking about is the law of lo selech rachil v'mecha, v'hu amesapir b'gnus chaveiro, alpha pi sha'omer emes. So there, he's talking about one application of rechilos, and he includes in that sentence this law of Bal Yomar, not to relate information told to you in presumed confidence without explicit permission. Okay, so in the smag, there is a law, whether it's nasmachta or the law of rechilos. So this is not quoted in Rambam, it's not quoted in Shulchan Aruch. It is quoted, however, in the Magen Avraham. The Magen Avraham in Siman Kuf Nun Vav has an extensive list of various halachos that do not appear explicitly in Shulchan Aruch. So in that list, he quotes our Gemara in Yuma, and he says, "Vim ha'omer mazir shalalomar afilu omer b'fnei rabim yesh mishum lashon hara." So you have a lav of Baal Tomar, and if you explicitly tell a person not to relate the information, then in addition to Baal Tomar, you also violate the isser of lashon hara. Okay. The smag, notwithstanding, the Chavetz Chaim in Sefer Chavetz Chaim seems to understand that this lav of Baal Tomar, Baal Yomar, is really a midas chasidus. It's not a absolute din. Lashon of the Chavetz Chaim, Hilchos Lashon Hara, Klal Beis Os Yud Gimel, Im Echad Gila L'Chaveira Ba'api Tlasa, Inyan Isko Miskaro, V'chayosev, is that if a person reveals information in the presence of three people, where you have certain heterim for lashon hara, Har Masher B'Stama Aser Acher Kach Megalos La'Acher, things that you normally cannot reveal to others, and Yuchal Agilo Aydin Hezek Lazar, lest you come to cause some damage on that basis. So if you do say it Ba'apin Tlasa, if you do say it in the presence of three people, so that does create certain heterim for lashon hara. But short of that, the Chavetz Chaim says, you have an isser of lashon hara. So commenting in his footnote there, the Be'er Mayim Chaim, the Chavetz Chaim writes as follows, that the heter of Ape Telasa to relate information to other people where it's said in the presence of three people, how does that jive with the Gemara in Yuma that seems to say that under all circumstances, you're not allowed to reveal information to others unless you have explicit permission? So the Chavetz Chaim's first answer is that the Gemara in Yuma is only talking about a Mida Tova. So technically speaking, there are heterim where you couldn't reveal information that was already publicized by Hapi Telasa. However, there's a Midas Chasidus, a Midas Tova, that even in such a context, you shouldn't reveal such information. And then he says that maybe the Gemara in Yuma is talking about a more specific context where there is a clear indication that something was stated in confidence. You pull someone into the room, you close the door, you don't tell them explicitly that what you're saying is confidential, but it's clear from context that you don't want that information repeated. But the first answer of the Chavetz Chaim seems to assume that that Isser Bal Yomar is perhaps a Midas Chasidus, and where there isn't any technical violation of Lashon Hara, then Me'ikar Adin, there's no prohibition of relating information that was given to you. However, there still is a Midas Chasidus that you shouldn't relate such information without explicit permission. So that understanding of the Chavetz Chaim seems to be reflected in a comment of the Me'iri in that Gemara in Yuma. And the Me'iri writes, Mima she'nemar b'Torah v'yikra al Moshe v'yidaber hayadai lo b'omro v'yidaber levad l'manu derech eretz Shabashash other maskal adabra lachaveiro, roi lo shikru tchila, lo dio, shiros ladabimo. So that's the first line of the Gemara. And then, lemor, klomar, sha'omer lo dvarim elu, amenas shiomram, lamanu derech eretz, lemisha omer dabra lachaveiro, afabishal amasalo, bisod, shahu bibal yomer. So that teaches you, derech eretz, that if you reveal information to someone else, even if you don't say that it's a secret, you still should reveal it. LMK in Amarlo Bal Dabar, Shu Amarlo Osan Dvarim, Belechamor. Unless you tell him explicitly that he has permission to relate it to others. So what the Meiri is doing over here, that Gemara and Yuma that we began with has two halachas. The first halacha is that you should give someone warning before you address them. And that the Gemara explicitly refers to as Derech Eretz. And the second halacha is Bal Yomar, not to reveal information said to you in presumed confidence. So there, the Gemara doesn't call that Derech Eretz. The Meiri, in his explanation of the Gemara, attaches the term Derech Eretz to the second halacha as well, seeming to say that it's not a Ikar Hadin requirement, it's not a formal love, it's only Mishum Midas Chasidus. Okay. So beyond the lav or the midas chasidus, depending on your perspective, of Bal Yomar, there is also, we know, one of the more famous charamim of Rabbeinu Gershom, not to read a letter that was sent to other people, not sent to you. The way the Chayim Rabbeinu Gershom is quoted in some of the Rishonim that have a list of various charamim of Rabbeinu Gershom, Chuvas Mara Mintz, Simon Kuf Beis Os Ayin Gimel, Kuf Beis Ayin Gimel, as well as Chuvas Maram, Defus Prag, Simon Tuf Tuf Reish Kuf Beis. So they both have the same formulation of this Cherem. Cherem Shelo Liros Bichsav Chavero, Sheshalech L'Chavero, Bili Yidi Aso Aser. So Cherem, not to see something written to someone else without his knowledge. V'im zarko mutter, and if he throws it away, it's mutter. So that last phrase, in zarko mutter, we'll come back to in a few moments. But this is one of the charavim attributed to Rabbeinu Gershom, not to read someone else's mail. So what does the Chayim Rabbeinu Gershom add over the lav of Bal Yomer? Presumably, if there is an isser, a lav of not revealing information to others that was given to you orally, presumably that should apply to the written word as well, that if something is written to you in presumed confidence, you don't have the right to share that material either. So if the lav of Bal Yomar is really only a midas chasidus, as the Meiri seems to indicate, as the Chafetz Chaim suggests, then you could understand more readily that you have this midas chasidus of Bal Yomar, and that was concretized in a more formal way by Chayim Rabbeinu Gershom. Even if you assume, like the Smag, let's say, that there is a more rigorous, formal lav of Bal Yomar, it still could be that Rabbeinu Gershom just concretized that in terms of a Chayim, that there was a lav, maybe an Asmafta, maybe a more rigorous lav, but a Chayim is even stronger than a lav. Chayim means drop dead. So Rabbeinu Gershom gave more teeth to the existing lav of Bal Yomar. Okay. So with that introduction, it's presumably reasonable that the Isser or the Chayrim of not reading a mail sent to someone else would apply and including the lav or the Midas Chasidus of Bal Yomar, that would presumably apply to email correspondence nowadays as well. But we should explore for a few moments under what circumstances might it be permissible to forward mail that was sent to you without explicit permission.
But why are these the same cases? I mean, the first is that we're talking about is when something was told to you,
right,
and you're not supposed to reveal it to someone else. Isn't the same regulation was where it wasn't meant for you, right? You're not supposed to be reading someone else's mail.
So you're saying Bal Yomar just means that if someone gives you information, you can't give that to someone else without permission. But right. Why does that necessarily tell you that you can't read someone else's mail?
I mean, no, the other one is even worse. I'm saying Rabbeinu Gershom came and said something which was even worse, right? You could hold that like the Meiri and hold an argument that's only Mishum Derech Eretz, but maybe everyone would agree what Rabbeinu Gershom was trying to address is far worse.
You're saying it's worse to pick up something that wasn't meant for you than to reveal information that was given to you to someone else without permission?
depending on the circumstances, right? If you had no, you could see, but they're both being wrong. I'm just saying that they're not right. necessarily addressing the same type of case.
I hear. There could be situations where reading someone else's mail might be more egregious than Bal Yoma.
Right.
Okay, right. Fine. I hear. Okay, good. So as far as the parameters of Chayim Ben Gershom, we noted that the way it's quoted in the Jewish Maharam Mintz and the Jewish Maharam is the imzarko mutter, that if the recipient throws away the letter, then it's mutter for someone else to read it. That sounds like the thrust of the Chayim, the thrust of where Ben Gershom is addressing, is with the recipient and not with the sender. So if the recipient sends away the throws away the letter, then it would be mutter for someone else to read it, regardless of whether there's a kapeda on the part of the person who sent the letter. So is that really true, that the whole thrust of the chayrim is only on the recipient and not on, or based on the reaction of the recipient and not on the sender? Tshuvas shevel kahasi, of shama kahas hakohen gross, of b'nei brach, chelak al of simin shin tesvav. So he just points out one caveat, that even if you take this nusach of imzarko mutter literally, let's say a person takes a letter that was addressed to him and he throws it into the garbage. So he did, technically speaking, throw it out. But when you throw something into the garbage, your assumption is that people aren't going to come, or your expectation is that people aren't going to come and fish it out of the garbage. So the fact that you threw it in the garbage doesn't mean that you're assuming you have no kapeda that no one else should read it. Okay, that's a technical point, but if you were to throw it into the wind, where someone else could easily pick it up, so then if you read this formulation literally, perhaps there is no Chayrim Rabbeinu Gershom. But questionable whether that is in fact Muskam to begin with. So number one, in a situation where there could be rechilus involved or a Bal Yomer factor, so then clearly we're concerned about the perspective of the sender and not only the recipient. Number two, in the formulation of the Chayrim that we find in the Kolbo, Simon Kuf Tezayin, it doesn't have that line of Imzarko Mutter. It just says, Shaloliros bichsav sheshalach adam l'chadera. A person shouldn't read a letter sent to someone else. Below yidi aso, below b'shusa, without his knowledge and without his permission. So there, in the Kolbo's formulation, it sounds like the thrust of the Chayrim is from the perspective of the Meshaleach, not from the perspective of the recipient. As long as the Meshaleach doesn't give explicit permission to forward the letter, then a person is not allowed to do so, and you're not allowed to read that piece of mail that was sent to someone else. The Aruch HaShulchan has the following line. Aruch HaShulchan Yerodea Simen Shin Lamed Aleph Se'if Kaf Aleph. Ani mistapek bizman hazeh. Shahar bei shulchim mechtovim pisuchim ala bei dor. And nowadays, there are a lot of people that send postcards. And mutter likra behem, kevan she'eno mastir oso. So if you send a postcard, and anyone could read a postcard, it's not in an envelope. So do we assume that this Chayim Ben Gershom applies be'oso hamida? So Aruch HaShulchan raises that as a question. He says that he's mesupak. But the assumption seems to be that if the person sending the letter is in fact makbid, then it would still be considered within the chayrim. Meaning his question is there a starting point, an assumption that if you write a postcard, then anyone can read it, and therefore you're not makbid on other people reading that postcard. But if you put it in an envelope, sounds like the Aruch HaShulchan would assume that we are concerned about the kapeda of the sender, and even if the recipient throws it to the wind, it still wouldn't be mutter for other people to read it. And his only question is, when it comes to a postcard, is the assumption that the only person who would be reading it is a mailman, and we don't really care if the mailman reads it because we don't know him, or do you assume that there's no confidentiality at all? In one of the collections of Rav Zilberstein's Tshuvos, one of the Vavei HaAmudims, he points out that in the Kovetz Igros of the Chazon Ish, there are a number of tshuvas that begin with the phrase, Michtavo Hagaloi Higiani. Your open letter reached me. So Rabbi Zilberstein explains that what the Chazon Ish meant to say with this phrase is that he received these letters on postcards. And maybe the Chazon Ish is coming to tell us that if you write a letter on a postcard, or you write a child on a postcard, then you have to assume that anyone walking around the house would have access to it and might read it. So, Nichtavo Hagalu Higiani, if you really wanted to write to me in confidence, then you should have written it in a envelope and not on a postcard. If someone wrote in an article in Hamaor, Shana Lamed Beis, Chaveris Gimel, a certain Rav Avram Naftali Tzvi Rus, don't know who that was, that if you write a letter to an Adam Chashev, then you have to assume that he has a shamish who reads his mail for him, and you can't presume confidentiality, at least as far as the shamish goes. But either way, that assumption of the Aruch HaShulchan, or at least the issue of the Aruch HaShulchan raises, the assumption that you have to be concerned about the kapeda of the mishaleach as well. So that appears in the tshuvas halachas katanos of Yisrael Yaakov Chaziz, Chelek Aleph Simen Nuntes, where he writes as follows. Let's get on the screen. I believe 17th century, early 18th century. She'ela, Hamotze Igeres Pesucha Beshuk. So you find a letter hanging out of the marketplace. The cost of Allah U Pagan, Rashi Tevas Paris Gather Yishkanu Nachash, which is the reference to Chaim Ben Gershom. And Moja Likros from Chayla Haxir. So it's lying around. Tshuva. So as far as the recipient, maybe he threw it out, he doesn't care about it. However, but maybe the person who sent the letter is still makbid. And if it has a seal in it, so he definitely can't touch it. If you see a seal in it, so then you have to assume that no one ever read the letter and it was lost. And even if there's no seal, if it's flying around in the marketplace on the street, you have to assume that the mishaleach might have been makbid, even if the recipient was not makbid himself. Okay. And then in a different tshuva, the halachas ketanos writes as well, chelek aleph simen Reish Ayin Vav, She'ela Mashinogin Lichtav Al Gabi Igera Supagin, Em Yesh Ba Mamish. So do you have to react to that formulation of Paris Gadi Yishkan Anachash in a letter? B'lafachinir She'esh Yisra Levakish L'chapes Mistar Shachavera. So even without Chayim Ben Gershom, you're not allowed to go searching around for other people's secrets. B'mali Lo Se'lech Rachi L'chayrim O L'atma. That's just an extension of the Isser of Rechila. So here it's clear that despite the formulation of some of the Rishonim of Himzarko Mutter, that in many situations you have to be misyaches to the kepeda of the Mishaleach, even if the recipient throws the letter away carelessly. So that being the case, it would seem that if a person receives an email, then you have to operate with a starting assumption that that email was sent in confidence, even if it's not coming from an attorney that has that in explicitly on the bottom in the signature. But any such correspondence is presumed to be confidential, and therefore you shouldn't forward it without permission. Unless there's an umdana that that's not the case. If you're working in a company where the culture is that anything sent within is shared within the department, shared within a certain number of people, and is understood that if you write the letter to one employee, it's going to be circulated in that department. So then that's the umdana. Or if you're sending out a clearly non-confidential, non-personal email, mazel tov wishes or something of the sort, then presumably there's an umdana that could be widely circulated as well. Or you're sending a link to an article in a newspaper that's in public domain. But a person needs to be conscious before automatically forwarding an email to just think whether this is appropriate or not. If there is any potentially harmful information that might put the sender in some bad light, or even if not, if there's a presumption of confidentiality, then a person has to be conscious of that before forwarding such an email. Now, on the flip side, it's important to realize that anything you do put in an email can and maybe will be circulated beyond the intended recipient, and you have to be careful how you word things and work the assumption that anything you write may end up on the front page of the newspaper or in some blog. That's just a cautionary note. As far as what Allah requires of us, the presumption is that there is presumed confidentiality unless there's a clear umdana or we know otherwise. Now, are there exceptions to this? Are there situations where this level of confidentiality does not need to be adhered to? So there is a discussion in Poskim whether Chaimer ben Gershom applies to a letter that was sent by a Nachri. Chuvas Chaylev of Chaim Pelagi Yaradeya Simen Memtes was asked whether you're allowed to open a letter sent by a Nachri where not opening it, meaning a letter sent by Nachri to someone else, where if you don't open that letter, which was not intended for you, you may end up incurring some kind of financial loss. So he raises a question. This goes back to what we started with a little while ago. What did Chaim ben Gershom add to Bal Yomar? So he has the following chakir, if you will. Is Chaim ben Gershom based on V'haftal Re'echa Kamocha, in which case it's only relevant to Re'echa, only relevant to other Yisraelim and not to Nachrim? Or is it based on some form of Geneva Das? And just like a Shol Shalomi Das, Gazlan Have applies to Nachrim, then this may apply to Nachrim as well. He assumes that Mikra Dina does apply to Nachrim, so Chaim ben Gershom applies to a letter sent by Nachri as well. But if there's going to be a financial loss that could be mitigated by reading such a letter, then he thinks B'chi Agavna, Rabbeinu Gershom wasn't a gozer. Rabbi Zilberstein in the Chashukei Chemed in Yuma quotes from Rav Yashiv that in principle he thought that Chaim ben Gershom does not apply to Nachri. Okay. Question number two, is there a allowance to show letters in what otherwise would be a violation of Chaim ben Gershom to your spouse? And by extension, can you forward an email to your spouse that you wouldn't be licensed to forward to other people? So Tshuva Shevet HaKahasi that we quoted above, Rav Shammai Kahas Gross, he quotes from a Sefer Das Kedoshim, that Chaim ben Gershom doesn't apply to your wife. Why not? Funny idea. Call a mafkid al das ishto ban of mafkid. When you give someone a pikadon to watch, the assumption is that it's going to be watched by other members of the household as well. So if that's true by pikadon, he assumes that it should be true by a letter as well, and therefore a woman can read any letter that is meant for her husband. Shlomo Duchovsky, Dayan Emeritus of the Beit Din HaGadol, has a similar argument in an article that was printed in Tchumin, Volume Yud Aleph, about eavesdropping. So he assumes that Chaim ben Gershom applies to letters. He assumes that there's a correspondence between Chaim ben Gershom and eavesdropping as well. But he quotes the Chuvas Ma'arik, Siman Ayin Zion, in a interesting context. Ma'arik there is addressing a man who had certain claims against his wife, and he took all her property and left the marital residence without having a psak vested. And the woman claimed the property back. So Ma'arik writes there in Siman Ayin Zion that you have to return everything that you took without permission, without a psak vested. Because that which we write in the Nusach of Tanaim, Sheyishlu Shneim Shaveh B'Shaveh B'Nechasim, that husband and wife will have equal control over their property. They're not going to hide anything one from the other. So he takes that very literally, that you're not allowed to hide any assets. And Rabbi Duchovsky says, maybe that applies also to informational assets that there's a presumption that you're not going to hide any information from your spouse. But obviously one could distinguish between the financial context of the Marik and our context over here. That we're talking about Bal Yom or Chayyur Ben Gershom in presumed confidentiality, especially if there's a Rechilus Lashon Hara element, so maybe that doesn't apply to your wife. There are situations, we know, B'Shem Chazanish and others, that there may be license to tell certain things to your spouse as far as Begeder Daga Belev Ish Yisichanum, that if it's going to be psychologically healthy to be able to relieve some burden by telling something to your spouse, then that's considered lito LS. But Stam, if there's no to LS, there's no blanket license for sharing Lashon Hara. And therefore, definitely to the extent that there may be any Rechilus or Lashon Hara element in sharing such correspondence, presumably it should not be shared with your spouse either. And Avastar of Nasa on the end of Perek Zayin, and we'll conclude with this, has a line of on our mission Avas of Al Tirbasicha Imaisha. The Avastar of Nasa describes, Bismancha Adam Balabesa Medrish, Vla Yinogim, Bakavod, O Shiirim Chaveiro. So a person goes to Bes Medrish, they don't treat him properly, there's a fight. Al Yelech Vayomel Ishto, Kach Vakachir Artiim Chaveirai, Kach Vakach Armuli, Kach Vakach Amarti. They should go back home and tell your wife everything that happened. They're going to tell everything to your wife, so she's going to hold it against you, she's going to hold it against other people. So not everything needs to be disclosed. So that has to be there has to be a certain level of shikol das, even to share something with the spouse, whether that is appropriate or not. So bottom line, the presumption, the starting point that a person should work with when it comes to email correspondence or other electronic correspondence is that absent an umdana to the contrary, there is a presumption, it should be a halachic presumption of confidentiality. And before sharing such correspondence with others, you have to ask yourself whether that's appropriate and whether whether there is a clear enough umdana that would allow sharing it.
Thank you.
Okay, have a great Shabbos.
I guess that would apply to WhatsApp messages too.
I would think so, unless it's the presumption is that it's being circulated more widely.
So you shouldn't like just forward somebody's reply. Say, guess what he said.
Right, not unless it was clearly meant for the recipient.
When we talk about the hakpada of the sender, does that mean that there's an isser? Is the receiver have a din of a shomer? Does he have an isser to be cavalier with the letter itself to throw it away? That he shouldn't be allowed to do that?
So that's what the Shevet HaKahasi seems to indicate, that maybe that is the case, especially if you have that approach of the Tshuva Schicka Kelev that talks about Geneva Das, or if you take the approach that it's analogous to Pikadon, so that could well be the case.
And how about Kenyan? Once he receives it, it comes into his chutzner, then it's his, and he can do with it as he wishes.
So he can do what he wishes with the actual paper, but if there's intellectual property there, that's a whole different ballgame. So that which is written on the paper, which may be confidential, wouldn't
we're saying there could be an isser for him to throw it away into a public setting that it could be found.
I believe so. Yeah, definitely. According to some, it sounds like that.
Okay. Sure.
Is there a problem for people selling? These are the Dolom letters. This Gadol wrote me this letter, and then it gets sold in all these auctions. Is there a problem with that?
Yeah, that's a good question. If it's Torah content, so then a very strong argument can be made that there's no privacy in Torah content. It's not, you don't have violence in that kind of intellectual property. But if there's something that's more of a personal nature, then I think that's questionable.
The collected letters of Rabbi Zilberman. I have a couple of those. Well, I'll put them on my list.
Very good.
Thank you. Good
job. Okay, thank you. Good job. Good job.